Hello, everyone. Oh, they think you did a good job with announcements, Gene. That's good. All right, hello, everybody. Well, some of you might already know this news because you're official members of the church, and I did send out an email this week announcing this news. If you didn't get the email, you should check it. Or if you're not a member yet, you can become one. Just mark on the back of your card, I want info on becoming a member, and I'll give you info about the next class, and then you can get in on the news before everyone else. So the news I want to share today is that Joe Freiman, who is our youth pastor, effective January 1st, his title will be changed to associate pastor. So that's exciting. Joe, come on up here. So Joe will, his primary role will still be overseeing and leading the youth area of ministry. Right, Joe?
Yep.
And so he's going to do that. He's going to be preaching more. He's going to be doing some other things on our leadership team, contributing good ideas, staying up all night long for New Year's Eve, that sort of thing. Some special events and other stuff like that. So we're excited to have Joe kind of step into not necessarily a different role, because in a lot of ways he's already been doing a lot of these things, but I think it's going to be exciting to see what God will do. So Joe, I just want to pray for you. Pat and Gene, if you want to come pray too. So now I have three associate pastors. I wonder what I'm going to do this year. No, I'll find something to keep me busy. Don't worry. So God, I just thank you for Joe. Lord, I thank you for his heart to serve. I've just seen over the years how you have called him and invited him into new things, and he's said yes. And I thank you, God, that he's been faithful with the assignments you've been given him, that you've given him, and now you have extra and different things for him to do, in addition to some of the same things too. Lord, I pray that you would enlarge his capacity, that you would increase his love for you and for this church, that he would lay down his life for the church in the same way that you lay down your life for us. Keep him healthy and well. Bless his family and children. In Jesus' name.
Lord, just fill him in a fresh way with your Holy Spirit, even now. Come and encounter your servant Joel. Come, Lord. Pour into him the grace that's necessary for this added level of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Fill him up. Amen.
Amen. All right, so that's exciting. You guys can have a seat. In case you didn't notice, we're going to be doing something a little different today. I'm not just going to talk to you for like 25 or 30 minutes. We're going to have a little bit of an interview. And, you know, this is the time of year. It's December 29th, in case you didn't know. And this is the time of year where a lot of times we like to reflect and look back on the last year and also look ahead to what God has in store for us next year. And, you know, as I think back about my own year, I think about, like, last January, if you remember, I shared about, like, having my best year ever, some of those goals and ideas that I wanted to do. And for me, I don't know if it was my best year ever. I'm not sure, but it was a good year. I did a lot of good things. I connected with God. I'm reading the Bible through a year. Is my mic sound weird?
Yeah, switch to the other one.
Switch to the other one? Okay. Can you hear me now? Does it sound less awkward and painful to listen to me? Okay, good. Great. So I had several goals for my own life. I wanted to read the Bible through in a year. I'm 2 days away from doing that, so I'm on track. I caught a 20-inch trout this year. That was one of my goals. I don't have a picture. I'm sorry, but I've shared it before. I don't want to brag. I wanted to catch a big bass also, but he was elusive, so I have to keep fishing next year. Gives me something to look forward to. I wanted to lose 20 pounds, and I did that. Nailed it. Denise and I had a goal financially to pay off our student loans, and so we did that. We're excited to no longer have to pay our student loans. One of my goals was to bike 1,000 miles, which again, for Pat and Gene is sort of like piddly, right? It still counts. Yeah, it's not a contest yet. But 1,000 miles is pretty good for me, and so far I've biked 986 miles. I've been working, so I'm not there yet, but I still got a couple more days, and I'm sure it's going to happen. Even if it's cold and icy, I'll be out there on my bike. And I had a goal to run a 5K in less than 25 minutes, but I didn't run any 5Ks because I switched my goal of training to the Berkey ski race. That's another crazy thing for next year. So overall, it's been a good year. Lots of great things have happened. And as I look back, too, on the church and what we've done and what we've seen God do, a couple of highlights that stick out for me. We baptized 22 people this year, which is awesome. 86 people made a decision to follow Jesus for the first time, so that's amazing. If you also remember, one of our main goals for this year was to be more effective at inviting and reaching guests and first-time visitors. Our goal was to have 350, and I don't know the final number yet, but we have accomplished that goal of over 350 first-time guests here at the Vineyard in the past year, so that's good. I also think about, you know, we kind of kicked off the year with talking about rest day. We did a retreat for our leaders. That was one of the highlights for me. Looking back, we also had the Easter celebration. That was so much fun to see the place full and so many people coming through the doors. That was a highlight. We had our Get Lit sermon series where we really focused on outreach and sharing God's love with people. I remember seeing several life groups did some really powerful outreaches and saw God do some cool stuff through that. Of course, we had Vineyard Kids, Storm, and Community on a Mission Day, where we just went out and showed God's love in all kinds of practical ways in the Quad Cities. That's one of the highlights for me every year. We painted the building this year. Did you guys notice? I don't know if you remember, but it was starting to look a little dingy, and it looks a lot better now. A fresh coat of paint helped a lot. We put together a new website. Okay, so no, those things might seem small, but really, when people drive by and see our building, or the first time that they visit our church, really is no longer our front door. Now it's the website. They're checking that out first. So that's really important to me, to have a good kind of first impression on people, to help them feel welcome and invited to the church. So those are good things. We also had the barbecue fest this year. Joe did that. How many of you enjoyed the barbecue fest? Yes? I know there's a couple people actually that started coming to the church because of the barbecue fest. So that's awesome. That's great. And then, of course, the barbecue fest was a fundraiser for the Kids Against Hunger meal packaging event, which was also awesome. We made 15,000 meals. How many of you guys helped with that? Lots of hands helped with the meal packaging. Thank you for doing that. Another highlight for me was this year we have more people serving on service teams than ever before in the history of our church. So that's amazing. I know many of you are on a team. If you feel left out right now, sign up. I want to sign up on it, be on a service team. We'd love to get you on a team. There's still room. I remember our FU series. Remember Forgive You? You know, it's a little play on words there, but I remember that was a really powerful series, really for many of us, where we receive God's forgiveness for ourselves and learn to forgive other people. I remember in particular that we had the blue suitcase at the foot of the cross. I remember just that powerful moment where many of us kind of left some things there at the cross and just really released that forgiveness to them. I think that was powerful. We also did lots of outreaches this year. We did the 4th of July outreach, the St. Pat's Festival of Trees, all kinds of different stuff that our life groups have done. All that's still going strong. Christmas Eve services were a highlight, you know, for me just a couple days ago. It's just really been a good year. And on top of all that, of course, there's personal stories of lives changed and marriages restored and people being healed and kids following Jesus. And there's just like so much stuff. I could go on for the next 25 minutes sharing about what God's done. So I think that's good to do. I think it's good to reflect on the past. I was looking this morning. I saw Psalm 143. It says, I remember the days of old, and I ponder all your great works, and I think about what you have done. And I think that's good wisdom. I think it's good for us to reflect on what God has done and all that he's done in our lives, because it gives us faith that he's going to do it again. It helps us remember his love toward us and his faithfulness to us. And so one of the things I want to do this morning, this is why these guys are up here, I wanted to just ask you a question to reflect back on the last year. Okay? And so the question is, where did you see God moving or working in 2019?
Okay. 2019 definitely was not my best year ever. It was probably my worst year ever. And I'm not going to go through the whole sob story again, because some of you know, but kind of started off in February with the death of my dad. And he and I have always been very close our entire lives. We certainly were proud of one another and each other's heroes. And so it was a huge loss, a huge blow to me for his death in February, and been grieving that really ever since. And then, you know, there was the great flood of 2019, which for us personally meant that our house had the river in it for over 3 months, and then all the cleanup afterwards, which was pretty hard. And we realized we were dealing with some post-traumatic stress
After all of that, and then we discovered that our daughter has breast cancer. She had a double mastectomy this year and chemotherapy, and so, you know, on 2019. And so, but that was not the question. The question was, what have we seen God doing? And so for me personally, and so many times I've, you know, prayed with people or counseled people or even preached on God's faithfulness and his goodness, even when it seems like everything's going terrible. And I just really was the recipient of that this year. The faithfulness, actually what it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him. And so that's what I saw over and over again. Even though in the depths of my depression and days that I didn't want to get out of bed and I couldn't face talking to anyone and I was crying all the time, God never left me. Even the times when I felt like just goo, just a sloppy mess, I knew that God was with me even if I didn't feel it in that second. That he was still at work when I couldn't feel him, that he's still faithful, that he still loves us, even when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. And I experienced that to such an enormous degree, and certainly his favor, so many of you praying for me and just being kind to me, and that was all God's faithfulness and favor in my life. That was the number one thing from this particular year for me.
Thanks for sharing, Pat. Yeah. And I just want to, I think it's worth saying as well, you know, it was a hard year for Pat, and I'm sorry that you had to go through all that stuff. And, you know, many of us have benefited from the journey that Pat and Jean have shared. And so thank you for just modeling what it looks like to be faithful to God, even in hard times. And that's really been a gift to our church, to continue to experience that leadership. So thank you. All right, Jean, what do you got?
I had the same year Pat did. So I don't have to say a thing about that. But what I will say, for me, this past year, well, let me back up. I started following Jesus when I was 14, and I started then, as a teenager, praying this prayer every day. I prayed, Jesus, cause me to be the woman that you intend me for me to be. Whoever you had in mind when you decided to create Jean, I want to be that person. And I prayed that every day. And sometimes I felt like I was following God well, and sometimes I felt like I wasn't. But what I realized this past year is that God really answered that prayer, because I realized that I could live through this year and not fall apart. I didn't lose it. And in fact, what I realized was what I've done in 2019, which was the suckiest year I've known, is God was still with me in a way that I felt like I was friends with him. I've learned what it means to be friends. I didn't have to perform. I didn't have to try to drum something up. I could just be who he was creating me to be and be his friend. That hallmark of my year.
That's amazing. That's been a blessing to see that journey too. Thanks for sharing, Dean. All right, Joe, what you got?
What else you got? yeah, for me, I think that ever since I became the youth pastor of the church like 7 years ago, like 2 days before I started, I had this really vivid dream. And I was standing on the top of a mountain, and I was like looking down, and I could see like a road kind of cutting through the mountain, but I couldn't see the whole thing, and there was like fog, and it was kind of a gray and dreary day. But I really felt like God was telling me that that's what my life is going to be like, that I'm going to, yeah, thanks, God. but that I'm not going to get to see the entire journey that God has set before me, and that I'm going to have to trust him for each section of the path that I have to go down. And this year has been that for me, that God has really pushed me into uncomfortable situations, you know, in everything, in ministry, in my marriage, with my kids, with relationships. And the question always kept coming back is, do I trust God with this stuff? Like, do I really trust him? Or do I just say that I trust him because, you know, I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to say that kind of stuff? And I realized that, honestly, there were areas that I didn't trust him in, that I would get to a certain part and I would try to do things on my own and I wasn't really giving God time or space to work. And God, being God, just gently kept bringing me back to that place and just saying, like, and what, trust me. And what I found over this year is that God really is trustworthy, that I can trust him in with my life. I can trust him with my marriage. I can trust him with my relationship to my kids and my friendships and even ministry. I can trust him in all of those things. And so I think that really was very meaningful to me, like just being able to fall back on God and say, I can really trust you, that it's not just a made-up thing in my imagination. So
that's good, though. Oh, thanks for asking, Pat. Yeah. So, you know, as I look back, this is something that God's been working on in my life for a long time. For those of you that know me, I'm sort of a driven guy. I like to do stuff. I like to accomplish things. It's hard for me to sit still. And something that God's been offering me as a gift for a long time, but I haven't always received it very well, is this idea of the gift of a rest day, a day of not doing any work, both the work I get paid for and the work I don't get paid for, just to enjoy being in God's presence, to enjoy time with family, to do things that I love and things that fill me up. And so this year, really more than ever before, I really made an intentional thing, a practice every week to do with my wife and my children, and we just had an awesome time. And we created memories that will last forever. You know, this is time that you don't get back with your kids and your family. And it just refilled me and brought a new balance, a new rhythm to my life that really made a difference. And, you know, I try to share it with you guys, too, that gift. And I'm hoping that you're learning to receive it as well. God wants to do that in all of our lives. And so that's something I really look back on last year as maybe the highlight of something that God was moving and really brought some significant change to me through that. So then I guess the next question then is, looking ahead to next year, kind of in light of where he's already taken you, where do you sense God leading or moving you next year?
I wasn't going to go first. I'm not a big planner. I'm not a big goal setter. And so that question is kind of difficult for me. Interestingly, I realize one of the things that God spoke is that we were just being friends this past year. One of the things I felt like he was inviting me into was this idea of being a positive influence in the world around me. Do you know how people are just so angry all the time? Everybody's just ready to be mad for no reason. Stop that.
Simmer down, Joe.
I felt like God was inviting me into a role in which I can bring light into those dark places. You know, answer somebody who's grouchy or yelling at me, I can answer them with a smile. And I can give everybody a break. You know, everybody's got a story. They're responding out of their own hurt. And so I really felt that God was inviting me into that. And with that, some of you may know that I love my birthday, and I will be turning 60 this year. Yay. I'm so excited. I've been saying I'm almost 60 for 10 years. I'm so excited, and I realize that's something that God put in me, because it's not really about me. Another thing I get to do, I feel like, is to invite other people to celebrate life. Wherever you are in life, it's not about me. It's about bearing witness to any time in our life. We still have a whole life ahead of us. There's never a time when we're too old to enjoy what God has for us. And so in the past, I used to be like so many of you and only celebrate a birthday. I realized I want to celebrate more. So then it became a birth week, then a birth month. So guess what next year is? Birth year!
It's going to be so much fun, Jean. We're excited.
Yeah. Let's celebrate, shall we?
Well, What about me? I guess I don't get a birth year this year. Oh, we can celebrate together. Okay, next year is Gene and Joe's birth year, so you're all invited.
Well, and I'm turning 40 this year too. I'm almost 40.
Whoa. And Pat, you want in on this? Okay. All right. We're just making things up at this point. So, you know, like I said, all the things that God showed me last year about trusting him and leading me into more of a trust relationship with God. And I think this year, what I noticed last year is that there were things that I did, you know, we go through our everyday life, you know, we do grocery shopping and, you know, drive kids around and go to work and all of that stuff. And what God really showed me, that there were things last year that just gave me life, that I was excited to do. And then there were a lot of things that I wasn't so excited to do. And I think this next year, I really want to draw out those things that gave me life. Like there were times, you know, that I kind of thought about last year that, you know, I would just like pull my phone out of my pocket and just stare at it, right? Like I'm not doing anything. I'm just looking at it like, please help me, give me life, you know? And I found that it wasn't giving me life, like scrolling through social media. That was not life-giving for me. And so I think this year I really want to focus on things that really give me life. Like last year I got the opportunity to be able to visit juveniles in the Scott County Jail. Some of which maybe have stolen your vehicles, and they're sorry. but getting to, you know, that opportunity to go down there and sit down with kids that are just, I mean, they're just rough, and they just don't know that there's another option for their life. And getting to watch them and watch God interact in those moments, it was so life-giving for me. And I was like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to do this year. I want to do things that are really giving me life. And the other thing that I want to do is I want to, you know, kind of along with what Gene was saying a little bit, is I just want to slow down and notice things, right? Like I'm always in such a hurry. I'm always like, you know, pedal to the metal, just go. And it's like, I just want to slow down. I want to recognize when God is moving. It's very easy in the busyness of life to miss all of those things that God is really doing. And so for me next year, those are the two things that I really want to focus on, things that give me life, and recognizing the things that don't give me life, and also slowing down, like just going at a easy pace.
Oh, real quick, Joe, I'm sorry. Just want to piggyback on
follow-up
for
questions.
You, I mean, you do have a little bit different role this year, you know?
Yeah.
So what does that look like? Like, what are some things that you're excited about, or where do you sort of sense God leading you in terms of your role here at the church next year?
Yeah, I think, like last year, another thing, you know, Jess and I went through a really rough spot in our marriage, and God led us to these resources that really helped us a lot, and I really want to share that with the church. And so I'm thinking about doing like a relationship marriage seminar this next year. Just that would give me life again, like helping other people, because, you know, like in marriage, you don't know what you don't know. And when things are good, they're good. And then when they're bad, they're bad. But like it really helped us to be intentional about our marriage, helping us to be intentional about our relationship. And so I want to share that with the church. I want to focus, you know, on outreaches. You know, I've been a member of this church for like 23 years, and part of this church's DNA is to take the church to the streets, right? Like we're not confined by these walls. We like not. Do you want the church? Sorry, but no, like just leave the church and go out and reach people where they are, right? Like we're not like cramming Jesus down anybody's throat. We're just meeting people where they are, where whatever walk of life they're in. So those are things that I really want to, you know, give time and attention to, doing that kind of stuff. So
yeah, so but you'll still be leading the youth group. You'll just be doing
still leading the youth group. I mean, I'm still passionate about teenagers. Like teenagers are just, they really are amazing people. Like they have so much to offer, so many good things to give. And that's something that, you know, I've done is I've really focused on student leadership, because the kids, of course, aren't the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today, and they have gifts and things that they can bring and offer to the church. And so I really want to have a strong focus on still doing that. Like, that's really life-giving, watching students just work in their own gifting. It's pretty amazing. So, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Good. Thanks, okay. Jeff. Thank you.
Yay. Okay. I know that God is inviting me into some wonderful things in 2020, and in the midst of, like, when the depression was the worst this year, it's probably around October, something like that, I went to a spiritual director and spent some time with him, and during that time, I had a vision from God, and I saw this picture. It was a two-part picture. One was of a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, you know, but it's in a chrysalis. And what happens in that chrysalis is it just basically dissolves and then emerges as this new thing. And that was part of the vision. And it was very clear that God was saying, because I was feeling that way, he's like, you're in the middle of the goo right now. You feel like you're dissolved, like you don't exist anymore, but I'm doing something. And something good is going to come out of this. And I felt like he was really in the goo with me. And the second part of that vision was a builder square, you know, that you use for, like, architect would design something. And I sensed the Lord saying, I am building something for you. It's not ready yet. It's not quite finished. But I'm doing this with you in mind. And that gave me great hope for what the upcoming year is. And I'm still in discussion with him about what that means. But what it does definitely mean, I think, one thing is, the second half of our lives is supposed to all be about contribution. The first half of your life is about competence, getting really good at your job or being a parent or a spouse gaining competence. But then the second half of life is about giving that away, about contributing to the people, making the world a better place with what you've learned. And so I know that part of it for me is to teach, to, lead smaller group type studies and things here at the church, just, 40 years of following Jesus and studying his scriptures deeply, and then to give that away in a way that helps other people to experience the wonderful, enriching life that I've been able to experience. So I know that that's definitely a part of what God's inviting me into in 2020 is to, continue to preach and do all that kind of stuff that I do, but also to add to that some very specialized kind of Bible learning opportunities for the congregation.
Good. Thank you, Pat. What about you? You might be wondering my answer. Well, I think piggybacking, God last year was really focusing on helping me learn how to slow down, how to rest, how to just enjoy being with him and people around me instead of being so focused on tasks. And I think what he's kind of inviting me into for this year is to say, like, okay, we've been doing that once a week. Now let's try doing that, like, on a daily rhythm. So building daily rhythms into my day where I can just pause, slow down, be with him, enjoy being with him, having more of a sense of partnering with him and doing things instead of just doing stuff for him, if that makes sense. And then part of that is I feel like learning to pray better, just learning how to have conversation with him as a friend, not just asking him for stuff. So that's kind of part of that. Also, I'm really excited. You probably, many of you know that Vineyard Church Davenport is part of a broader movement of churches called Vineyard Churches USA. And they had a special grant that was given to them where pastors from around the country could apply for this opportunity to be part of a pastor wellness group, a cohort, they call it. And so I applied for that, and I received that that grant, so I'm excited for that. And so what that means is I'll be going to a retreat in San Antonio at the end of January. San Antonio is a nice place to be at the end of January, I hear. And so we're going to have a time of connecting with God and with each other, getting to know each other there. And then from that point, we'll be with that group of people. Also, I will have a coach and a mentor and a spiritual director, three different people in my life on a regular basis that will be asking questions, helping me sense what God's doing, sharing ideas and tools. And so I'm really excited for next year. I think it's going to be a huge year of growth and, like, stretching and learning from other people. And I think God's going to use it. I think it's going to be really good. So yeah, those are some of our answers, I guess. And so one of the reasons that we wanted to do this for you is sort of model what it might look like for your own life. You know what? This is a good time of year for you to be thinking about, what did God do in my life this year? You know, God does stuff in all of our lives, not just pastors. And so I would encourage you then over the next few days, maybe even take some time this afternoon or on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, to think about, what did God do in my life last year? What were some of the lessons that he taught you? What are some of the journeys that he led you through? How have you seen God be faithful to you in your life? I just think it's really good to just thank him and praise him and just celebrate those victories. And also the hard things too. Just remember how God was faithful to you through those as well. And then you might begin thinking about the next year. What are some dreams? What are some visions? What are some goals that you might have for next year? You know, if you think about when you're here a year from now, what do you want to be different in your life? You know, it might be something related to your physical fitness or your losing weight, or it might be something like getting out of debt or developing a better relationship with your spouse or your children, something like that. I would encourage you to make real tangible goals that will really help you do that, because a dream without a plan is just a wish, right? If you want to see something different, you know, this is something I'm passionate about. Like, I hate it when people are just stuck. I want to see people grow and get better and learn. So I would encourage you to make goals to help you get there. You know, I don't make any money off of this book, but one of my favorite books on goal setting, just really practical and helpful. It's called Your Best Year Ever. There's a couple of these books out in the bookstore. You can also order it on Amazon. But if you want help on, like, how to set practical goals, that'd be a resource I'd encourage you to check out. But yeah, I just want all of us as a church to just reflect on what God has done and also look forward to the future. In Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. He says, I still have ways to go, or that I've already reached perfection. He says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. He's saying, Jesus had something in mind. He had a plan for my life when he adopted me into his family. I want to become everything that God wants me to be. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not already achieved all that stuff, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race, to reach the goal, and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And I think that's so true. I think that God has a plan and a vision and a dream in store for every one of us. And it's up to us to partner with him, to cooperate with him, to make his dream for our lives come true. And so I just want to pray for us, just as he leads us into the next year along the way.